This is Wyman and Bob
on Seattle Sports, powered through the Alaska Airlines Studio.
Streaming live on the Seattle Sports app and at seattlesports.com.
Now, here are your hosts, Dave Wyman and Bob Stelton.
We are live at Edgar's Cantina here at T-Mobile Park. Seattle Sports on 710. Mariners getting set to take on the Pirates. Game one coming up tonight. We get a chance to speak to a man who is just captured everybody's imagination out here. Everybody is very excited about this rotation, and this guy is a big reason why. Bryce Miller's with us. How are you, man?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. It's good to talk to you in person, and we had you on the phone before. How do you feel about the media attention? How do you feel about, I bet there's a lot of requests for you to do interviews at different places. Is this something you dreamt about, or are you now looking at it going, okay, I just want to relax and do my thing?
Yeah, no, I mean, it's better, like I said earlier, it's better to get attention than to not, because that means I got to be throwing bad. So, it's been a lot of fun so far.
Has the, I don't know if you had awe or anything, but when you got up here and you made your first start and now you've kind of started to settle in, has it worn off the shock of, hey, I'm in the major leagues, or is it still, you have your moments where you're like, wow, I am pitching against guys I grew up watching?
I think the main one was whenever I threw against Houston here. Growing up watching Houston, that was pretty cool. But the last couple weeks, you know, I've just had my head down and been just throwing it over the plate, and things have been going well. So it's been a lot of fun.
Yeah, we were joking yesterday. Ryan Roland Smith was doing the show with us, and he was talking about, because he pitched in the league for a long time, and he talked about, you know, Bryce Miller must be just going home going, I don't know what everybody's talking about. This is easy. This is Major League Baseball stuff is easy, and you make it look easy, which is a huge compliment. But has it been, I don't know what you envisioned before you got here. Has it matched up? Has it been different than how you pictured it?
I'm definitely throwing a lot more fastballs than I thought I would be. I definitely didn't think that I would come out and be this successful right off the out of the rip. And you know, it's everything's been going well. I've been over the plate and got a good defense behind me. So I've just been trusting the stuff and, you know, throwing whatever Cal calls. He's called a lot of fastballs, so I've thrown a lot. So it's worked out so far.
Yeah, because I know we talked to you on this show after your first starts. You've now had four more starts since then. You mentioned, okay, well, I'm going to keep throwing this fastball if Cal calls for it. What gives you the confidence in that pitch, or I guess what gives him the confidence to keep calling that pitch for you?
It's been a pitch that, you know, I've been able to locate. I've commanded it well, and there hasn't been very many barrels on it. So it's kind of the thing where, you know, we're not going to change something that's working, and it's definitely been working. So there hasn't really been any reason to stray away from it. But the only in Detroit, they kind of showed they were on it a little bit early, so that I threw the least amount of fastballs there. So far, all five starts have been pretty heavy fastball usage, and it's worked. So,
you've had very few moments. You bring up Detroit, but very few moments where you look like you were in trouble or they were getting to you. But just a couple. How does that feel? I mean, you look like your heart rate doesn't change. You look like, it, regardless of what's going on, kind of like Kirby. You guys are both the same. You're kind of stoic, and you nothing changes. Are you getting, do you have to guard against getting too mental? Like, okay, I can't throw that again. They hit that. Or are you just, all right, he got a hit, moving on?
Yeah, no, I mean, it's a game of short memory. So, if I give up a barrel or something, it's, you know, the next batter up, and I'm still going to trust my stuff. Really, like the first inning in Atlanta, I gave up a couple barrels that inning and got out of it with just one run. But, even still, after that inning, like I think I threw 80 fastballs in Atlanta, and just had to locate them better. And I knew that going forward, and I did it, and it worked. So it's a game of adjustments, and right now we haven't really had to make too many adjustments. So it's, you know, just trusting the stuff.
Yeah. So what goes through your mind after an inning like that in Atlanta? You get out there, you get ready to make the start. You go through that inning. As you walk back to the dugout, are you trying to think too much? Or are you just saying, okay, let's take a deep breath and get out there and get ready for the next one? Or are you kind of in your head going through, okay, this is what they did, this is how I have to counter?
It was the first inning that I've really kind of been hit around, and I came in the dugout. I was like, geez, we might be in trouble. But then I looked at the film, and, you know, I realized I was over the plate too much, and, you know, they were just on it. So it's, you know, all I could do after that was move on and focus more on my spots, and that's what I did, and it worked. So, like I said, it's a you know, you gotta have a short memory, and I got through that first inning, and after that, you know, it's a new inning, new batter up, so it's you know, it was time to go.
What was it like facing a team for the second time? Because you faced the A's pretty close together from your first time to the second time. Were you thinking about, all right, they know what I do now, I've got to change it up, or are you like, no, I'm just going to do what I do?
I mean, everything was the same, honestly. I mean, coming out of the minor leagues, whenever I would throw to a team twice, it would be twice in a week. So getting the A's twice in a month doesn't seem quite as bad.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was, the game plan was the same. I mean, really, the game plan has been the same all five games so far. So it's attack hitters early, and until you know they prove I need to change, I'm probably not going to change. So
I'm sure the Mariners have worked with you, or you've kind of noticed that high fastball spin rate, and you've been mentioning the barrels. When does that become important to pitchers? Did you care about that? Did you know about all these StatCast metrics in college, you know, in your early years in the minors? Or as you got through the organization, was it something that they started to stress with you why these stats are important?
So we, you know, in college we had like TrackMan and Rapsodo and stuff, and we didn't really dive too much into it until I got to the minor leagues. And Seattle does a great job with all the analytics on all the pitch stuff, and kind of explained to me, because I knew I had a high spin fastball with vertical movement, but I never knew how much or like how good it was, because I didn't know what the numbers meant. And once I got here, they kind of explained it. We went through all of it, and they kind of showed me like where I need to be throwing my pitches, and really opened my eyes to how good they are. So, and that's obviously going to help tremendously on the like just being confident with my pitches in all counts, not worrying about who's in the box and just throwing it over the plate and seeing if they can hit it.
Now, are you a guy that will, you know, seek knowledge from the other pitchers in the rotation? Do you talk to Marco or talk to, you know, Luis or Logan? Hey, how do you grip that? Or what do you do in this situation? Or are you more of a sit back and observe guy?
Yeah, I mean, these guys are here for a reason. And, you know, we have a great staff and a great bullpen, and you can learn a lot from a lot of these guys here. But, you know, for me, it's, we're all different pitchers, so you have to take a little bit from each. You can't, you know, nobody's the same in this staff. So it's like, sit back and observe, and if I can take a piece from Logan or from Kirby or Castillo or Marco, like, I'll take it. But a lot of it's just learning, like, situationally what to do, and then getting better on my own, like, the stuff that benefits me from what I can take from others.
What have you learned from those guys, especially the fellow young pitchers like yourself, like Kirby, like Gilbert, maybe not even watching their starts, but when you're interacting in the dugout today, when you guys aren't pitching socially, are you guys becoming close? Are you bonding over similar rises, or what are all their personalities like?
Yeah, I mean, we got a really fun clubhouse. We got a lot of guys in there that have a lot of fun. But main thing that I learned from like just watching Kirby and Gilbert the last couple years was like, me coming into big league camp this year for the first time, like I was able to know, like the year before Kirby was in the exact same spot, and the year before that Gilbert was in the same spot, and they've had success in the big leagues the last 2 years. So it definitely helped me out, you know, with keeping me comfortable and knowing that I was in the right spot and I was where I needed to be, just by seeing them do it the last couple years. So
now, are you a target for the vets in there? Do they give you a hard time? It feels like everybody gives Logan a hard time, which I can't quite figure out. He seems like the nicest guy in the world, but everybody likes to bust on him. Do they give you much of a hard time, or have they left you alone?
I mean, we've had our fun.
Yeah.
Ty gets a hold of me a little bit.
Does he?
But yeah.
What about Murph? He seems like, he talked about he likes to give it to Kelnick the most. Does he give you a hard time?
I think he probably stays on Kelnick quite a bit. But yeah, Brash and Logan get a good amount.
Yeah, so. I can't figure out. Logan's just a sweetheart of a guy, but it seems like the team loves to go in on him.
I don't know. Take it off of me. That's fine.
Well, I assume your family was there for your first start. Were they here for the Houston one as well? I was here, and it looked like after the game, you had a ton of family members or friends out there.
Yeah.
How cool was that for you, as you said, your childhood team and all your family and friends to come here and watch you pitch against them?
Yeah, no, it was cool. I was fortunate. I had a couple days before I threw in Oakland that I could, you know, get everything coordinated and get them out there. And then They ended up coming out up to Seattle for the first time against Houston. So it was super cool being like, Houston's not too far from where I grew up, and like that's who we watched quite a bit. It was super cool.
Have you noticed you've got more friends and family now that your spotlight is growing? All of a sudden, people are coming out of the woodwork like, hey, man, remember me?
Yeah, for sure. People I haven't talked to in a while.
Yeah, all of a sudden, you guys were best friends back in the day, and you didn't even know it.
Yeah, it happens.
Well, get used to it, man. I mean, you're catching a lot of people's attention outside of Seattle. You couldn't ask for a better start to your career. And I know everybody just expects you to do that every time you take the hill. Now, I'm sure you expect it as well. But it's been a lot of fun watching you out there and really cool to talk to you. Thanks so much for coming by.
Yes, sir. Yeah, thanks for having me.
Thanks, Bryce.
There you go. Bryce Miller of your Seattle Mariners, who's just been absolutely phenomenal. A lot of fun to watch, and we appreciate him coming by. And that's our Mariners Player Spotlight, which is brought to you by Muckleshoot Casino and Pacific Lamp and Supply. This rotation is just, I mean, you throw him in with Kirby, and we've been talking about it, you know, just all day, all year, as a matter of fact. Yeah. Just the potential. Looking forward, you don't want to get too out ahead of yourself, but you're just going, my goodness, with Miller and Kirby and Gilbert, and you throw Luis Castillo in there. I feel like we're forgetting about Luis. And then we talk about Marco as the fifth starter. I mean, I don't know who the better rotation in baseball is. I'd have to go back and look at every single stat, but it's hard to believe there's one through five that is better than what the Mariners are rolling out there, who lead the league, by the way, in quality starts with 28.
Yeah, the metrics are incredible. I mean, they have the best WAR by pitching staff. Their starting rotation has the best. Their bullpen, second best behind Baltimore. And it was funny to think now, because you remember at the start of the year where all these publications and Fangraphs, too, they ranked the rotations, and this is back in spring training, obviously before you knew what Bryce Miller was going to be, but they ranked the Mariners like 15th or 16th. And there are some good ones. I mean, the Twins have some great pitchers right now. The Mets haven't gotten what they expected out of all these big arms. But, yeah, 1 through 5 right now, especially with the way these three have gone at the top. And Bob, back to the conversation of who would you start in a one game right now. I might put Luis Castillo as the fourth best pitcher right now on this team because of the recent performances of Gilbert, Miller, and Kirby. So you have those four and Marco Gonzalez, who's just consistently solid. This is a ridiculous rotation. The envy of the league, I would think. And it's just now it's on the offense to keep pace. But all of these guys go out there, and I wish I would have asked Bryce Miller. I should have asked him, hey, is there competition between you guys, like friendly competition to one-up each other? Because it does seem like he is almost a mirror image of Kirby in the fact that they don't want guys and they get frustrated with themselves, not overly emotional on the mound, but just there's that internal desire to perform. And what George Kirby told you when you said, hey, you have 4 walks, so that's too many.
Yeah.
Because they take so much
now
pride.
He's got five.
Five, terrible. They take so much pride in their command and their ability to turn in big performances. That's the qualities that you want in a starring staff. And I think the future is in great hands with that. Talked to him for 10 minutes. This is a poised, mature rookie right here in Bryce Miller.
I got to tell you, one of the things I loved hearing about him was before his first start. He gets called up. He's walking through the clubhouse for the first time. He's, you know, he's new. He's the new kid in school, so to speak. And he's walking around with his glove on his head. And he's just, everybody talked about like he just seemed just like it was another day. Like, you know, just goofy. I got my glove on my head. I'm just saying everything's cool. Can't wait to play baseball. You know what I mean? It's just to have that sort of indifference, and not that he doesn't care, but just to be that composed and calm. And people talk about his heart rate doesn't get up, his heart rate doesn't change regardless of the circumstances, and that's true of Kirby as well. You watch him, if you just flip the TV on in the middle of the game, you don't see the score, you can't tell anything by his demeanor if he's getting lit up or if he's shutting them out. You've got no idea. And Bryce Miller's the same way, and I think that is as valuable as anything when you're making that transition from the minor leagues to the big leagues.
And that's why it feels like their command is so good, because of the similar mindsets that both these guys have. You're going to get, what, a 3-ball count? Okay, no pressure. You're not getting a call on the corners of the zone? No big deal. I'll learn how to nibble. I'll learn how to get those pitches. And that bulldog mentality we've heard about Kirby specifically, just the way he comes in and attacks. So with that mentality, and then you look at Bryce Miller and his pitch, this fastball that even he mentioned was surprised at how much huge vertical rise it has. And yeah. I loved when he said, yeah, I knew it had a lot of movement to it and the numbers were there. And then the Mariners told me just how much spin that was. So when he has a pitch that good and he's so confident in it, because he just said, didn't expect to throw that many fastballs, but I came out and I did. He trusted Cal Raleigh. He trusted that pitch. Just kept throwing it against the Braves and against the A's the second time through. So when you have a pitch that good and you can command it like that and you don't overthink and say, well, I've thrown too many fastballs, right? I need to change it up. Or I'm not going to go back to the same spot because they're going to hit it. Trust your stuff. That's ace-level mentality right there from both of those guys.
Yeah, I think you learn a lot about these guys as well when things don't go right. How do they respond? Do they melt down? Is he overthrowing? Is he aiming the ball? The location goes out the window, what have you. We haven't really seen him get... He brought up Atlanta, gave up a run early, and you saw how he adjusted. He hasn't faced any, like, hardcore adversity yet where he gives up a three spot or something like that. That's going to happen at some point. He's going to have a dud. Every pitcher does. Doesn't matter what their name is or what their level of experience is. They all have that moment. And when that happens, I'm going to be interested to see, A, how does he respond within the game? How does he respond in his next start after that?
Yeah.
Those are all, to me, just sort of tells when you're talking about young guys experiencing things at this level for the first time. How does he respond to something that didn't go your way? You couldn't fight your way out of it. Or maybe he does. Maybe he makes a huge adjustment in game. Or if it doesn't go his way, he doesn't make that adjustment the next game. What does he look like?
From that aspect, then, I think it is very encouraging to see the Detroit game where he said, you know, he did have to go away from the fastball. That was the one game where we have seen a different Bryce Miller in terms of not heavy reliance on the fastball. Every other start, it has been, you know, at least 50% fastball, sometimes over 70% fastball. So in that game, Detroit wasn't swinging at that pitch. They were making him throw his other stuff. He only had 3 strikeouts after he had that stellar debut with 10, but he was able to get through 7 innings and that still wasn't really phased, only 3 hits and the no runs. But the fact that he can pitch a different game, we saw a little bit of that against Detroit. Now you're right. The inevitable, okay, he's going to get hit. It happens. I mean, George Kirby had a really tough start last year against Boston. Look what he came back and did against them this season, locked him down for 1 run. So there are the adjustments. You're right. We're going to see that at some point. We haven't seen it yet because Bryce Miller has done so well this season. But he is pitching beyond his rookie status. And I know he is not a fresh out of high school, just called up 20, 21-year-old. He has that college experience. He's an older rookie compared to even guys like Jared Kelnick or Julio, but still a very young pitcher at this level. And he has the maturity of a 5-year vet already.
Well, we had a chance to speak with John Morosi, as we do every single week. It's always a great conversation. And he talked about this Mariners rotation as a whole being, in his opinion, one of the best in baseball, if not the best.
I think one of the very best. And George Kirby has been sensational since the very beginning of the season. And then you mentioned Bryce Miller. I had to look today as we were getting ready for this conversation. I said, I wonder where Bryce Miller ranks in wins above replacement on the Mariners team right now after a handful of starts. He's fourth. He basically needed, what, 5 games to vault himself into being the fourth best player on the team based on accumulated performance. He's been just tremendous.
And he hit on Bryce Miller there. It just, you know, reiterating what we've been talking about with the rotation and just how ridiculous they've been and how much that's what's kept them afloat. We've talked, you know, every day about the offense, the unknown offense. Is it going to show up tonight? Is it going to get shut down tonight? And we've seen the extremes in both directions. But this pitching in the bullpen as well has been spectacular, and it's a good reason they're 2 games above 500 right now.
These starters are just doing things you don't usually see out of a pitching staff, the collectiveness of it. So going by WAR, and WAR is a pretty good stat for a pitcher because it's the one thing that kind of takes the independent nature of what a pitcher does outside of everyone else. Just going by WAR across all of baseball, and that's what John Morosi was saying. Well, Bryce Miller is 18th out of all starting pitchers. Luis Castillo's 14th, George Kirby and Logan Gilbert now both tied for 7th after Gilbert's incredible performance last night. So you have 4 starters in the top 18 of Major League Baseball. The only other team with multiple ones, Minnesota, Sonny Gray and Joe Ryan. And Texas has Jacob DeGrom, who's, you know, we don't know what he is, if he's healthy or not. Yeah. But you don't have 4. No teams have 4 starters up there in that mix except the Mariners.
Yeah, yeah, it's a lot of fun to watch, and again, it is a saving grace. One more from John Morosi, just talking about this rotation. We talked about the offensive problems. He talks about the fact that this rotation can kind of keep things steady until that offense finds its footing.
as up and down as some of the offensive issues have been, Julio has been better since they moved him out of the leadoff spot. I think Caballero's been great. He's stabilized second base very nicely. They'll get Dylan Moore back. The thing you know is when your rotation is this good, that you're going to have a chance to make up ground, that you're going to be able to reel off some weeks where you go 5-2 or even 6-1. And obviously the competition is part of the reason that's happening right now. But the big picture is, to your point, this rotation is, in my opinion, as good as there is in the sport, and it's gotten all the better now that Bryce Miller is part of it.
There you go. John Morosi, he knows a thing or two about what he's talking about, by God.
I think so.
The guy lives baseball. He lives baseball. He's traveling all over the country watching and dissecting baseball. So that's high praise coming from him. And, again, in case you're new to the program, we speak with John every single week, and it's always a tremendous conversation. So you can go back and check out any conversations you missed at SeattleSports.com. All right, coming up, a guy who's always – I feel like he's always there when we need him, right?
We'll right here.
We'll be on the air talking about it. I wonder what this stat is, or I wonder how they compare to this. And then, boom, he'll hit you on Twitter. He's got the stat right there at his disposal. He's going to join us here on the set. Luke Arkins of Prospect Insider will join us next as we continue from Edgar's Cantina. This is Wyman and Bob, Seattle Sports on 710.
Wyman and Bob.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studio.
On Seattle Sports and the Seattle Sports app.
We continue live from Edgar's Cantina here at T-Mobile Park. Mariners getting set to take on the Pirates, game one of a three-game series, and it's a pleasure to bring to the set here a man we've talked to him a number of times on the show and interacted with him a million times on Twitter because
never really in person though.
He's kind of our resource. He's kind of our on-call guy. I don't know how you always are right there, but we'll call them. I wonder how this guy compares here. I wonder what this stat is for this. And then, boom, I look at my Twitter page, and he's got the info right there. We're talking about our buddy Luke Arkins from Prospect Insider. How are you, man?
Good. Good. Glad to be here. First time. It's, you know, I feel like, am I the closer or the mop-up guy after Bryce Miller?
Bryce Miller, yeah.
Right?
Yeah. I mean, he's Bryce Miller, man. I mean, you know.
He did the eight innings. You're closing.
Yeah. I'm just sort of just mopping up at the
end.
We
put
there.
You in a blowout. Yeah. Yeah. So you can just come out and be you and not have to worry about it.
Yeah, I don't have to worry about how it goes. Results, not like that. Yeah.
Now, how is it that I picture you at home with like multiple computer screens up and you're just at the ready and, oh, we need defensive metrics here. We need, because you come up with it immediately, it feels
well,
like.
Well, I listen to the show a lot and yeah. I'm just sitting there in front of my computer and I'm sitting next to my wife who's working. And so it's not too hard to just look something up and maybe make a quick table and put it in Twitter or send it to you guys. So, yeah, it's not super complicated. It's not like I have a big cerebro on my head and I'm, you know, I'm just like tapped into the internet with my brain. But you know, it's not that hard when you know what you're doing. I guess if you do it a lot, you're a nerd like me. You know.
Well, how do you kind of? I don't know if you can quantify, but what's your takeaway on this Mariners rotation? We were talking about how good and how balanced they've been. I mean, the four jump out, and then Marco's been solid. But when you take a look at the overall picture of the Mariners rotation, what jumps out to you?
It's the depth. It's just the sheer depth because, you know, there's a possibility somebody else will go down here. Yeah, hopefully not. But if somebody does, they have people behind, pitchers behind to take to fill in. And the guys that are here are as good. They're performing as well as anybody in baseball right now. Right, I think, Mike, you said there's, what, four or three of them in the top 20?
Yeah, four.
Four,
yeah.
And that four.
Top 18, right?
Yeah. So nobody else has beaten that. And that's why I felt so strongly about the Mariners going into the season, because of the depth of that rotation, the quality in the organization compared to everyone else. Only the Astros could match that, and they've had some problems here lately. So, and I still think the Rangers are going to fall back. I do, you know, maybe we're looking at a fool at the end of the season, but there's a lot of health concerns with that team, and we'll see how it plays out. We've already seen it with DeGrom. We'll see how it goes.
What's been the biggest surprise for you this year with this team, good or bad? Just something you're like, I didn't see this coming.
I thought the lineup would be better. Maybe not, you know, world busters, but I thought it would be better. And, of course, Jared Kelnick is the surprise I think everybody would agree on. I still thought he had a chance. I'm not going to claim like I knew he was going to be good.
Right.
But you know, the kid was 22, 23 this year, but he was 22 in his first two seasons. And, you know, he just wasn't quite ready for the show, but now he is. And I guess Kelnick would be the biggest surprise. But as far as the offense, I thought it would be better. I didn't think, like I said, I didn't think it was going to be great. would be better than last year, and that just hasn't quite happened yet. And when you look at the guys that are not performing, it's the guys you thought would. Julio, Tio, Gino, those guys are supposed to hit, and they just haven't yet, but at least not consistently yet.
Sorry, I have to make the announcement of what just happened. There was a lot of applause. A ball just came over and decked a couple beers. So that was the commotion. If you heard that commotion right there, a ball just came into the pen.
Everybody's okay?
There is a couple beverages not okay. Right. Hopefully everyone's okay.
All right, no injuries, though.
That's
injuries.
The real problem.
Yeah,
that's why we're covered up. We don't want all of our stuff to go sprawling. Luke, I was just kind of reading through your Mariners Consigliere newsletter there, which is always great, always very informative.
Where do they get that, by the way?
The easiest way is to just go to lukearkins.substack.com, and I will bring you right to the website. You better just Google my name, and then it's about the third thing down there, too. That's the other way, an easy way to do it.
But the one thing that you kind of highlighted well and that has really jumped out in a negative way is that the contact is not good. The strikeouts, they're so low in terms of getting a ball in play. Is this a glaring issue because then they're not producing with the slugging, as you mentioned? They're not getting the home run production. They're not getting their sluggers to make up for that. Or is this strikeout rate going to be something that lingers with them and is a big deterrent on the season?
Well, they struck out at a relatively high rate last year, but I think it was fair to assume it would go up a little bit this year because Teoscar Hernandez, he was a high strikeout guy. He's on board now. And then a lot of the guys who didn't strike out a lot are gone. You know, Frazier, Winker, Toro. And you replace them with guys who strike out more. So it's not a surprise that it went up. But, yeah, the slug is not there. There's only, I think five guys that have a slugging percentage over the league average right now.
Mm-hmm.
And, that includes Caballero and your guy. Your favorite guy, Taylor Trammell, right? And between the two of them, they played in like 50 games.
Yeah.
So, yeah, there's just not enough slug there. And the strikeouts are just way too high right now.
Hey, as far as sabermetrics and advanced stats and all this goes, how do you draw the line? I'm somebody who I want to be in the middle. I think there's absolute value to those, and we've talked about it a little bit in the past. But I think at some point you got to trust your eyes as well. And to me, the classic example is the numbers you sent me on Jared Kelnick's defense. Because you'd sent out numbers on how right fielders rank, how center fielders rank. And I said, Luke, what about left fielders? I'm thinking he's going to be amongst the best. And you sent me a chart that had him equal to Tony Kemp and Yordan Alvarez. And right then I went, BS. This has no credibility to me. There's nobody that's seen these three players play that are going to tell you they are equal defensively in the outfield.
Well, first off, just for the record, I hate defensive metrics. I use them, I share them, but they're so confusing and they're constantly evolving and they're best used in a big sample size. And so we're 2 months into the season, and so I don't know if they're all really on the mark. But it's tough to judge defense from home, and that's sort of my point to people on Twitter that we were here last night and we watched Julio. He came in on a ball, and then he went back on, and he kind of had to hop up for it. But the people on TV, because we went home and watched the game because it was over so fast, we just went back home and watched it. He had a kind of, it looked like he just
misjudged,
ran back
it,
and jumped up. And you didn't even see the misjudge. And so it's tough to sit at home and say, oh, that guy, Colton Wong's defense has been subpar. There's no denying that, but there's plays that people say, well, he should have got the, well, you don't even know where he was when the ball was hit.
Yeah,
you don't know how hard it's been hit and things like that. So I get it. I'm not going to defend defensive metrics, because you have defensive runs saved, you have outs above average, and sometimes they don't agree, and so now what do you do?
What do your eyes tell you about Kelnick's defense this year?
I think he's a very fundamentally sound, and so he makes plays look easy because he's prepared and he's in the right spot and things like that. I don't know if he has the burst and all those things that, outs above average measures and things like that. But he's not going to hurt you in the outfield. I guess that's all that really matters to me.
Quick prediction from you, not to put you on the spot too much here, but with where the Mariners are right now with the Rangers and the Astros, and I know you've said the Rangers might come back down to earth, but with how good the American League is, for the Mariners to get a playoff spot, do you think they stay the course, or do they have to make a move here to try to keep pace?
Well, I think they need to add a bat, for sure. Now, whether they do or not, we'll see. But like I wrote in my piece today, they they needed a bat before the season. I don't think anybody would deny that. And now here we are. And, you know, if everything, you know, if Tio was hitting and Gino was hitting and Julio was hitting, you might say, well, Jared Kelnick was that bat. And you go, okay. But I do think there needs to be more, they need another bat. And I wouldn't mind seeing them raise the ceiling, or excuse me, raise the floor on the bench. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just not a lot behind the guys that are starting every day right now.
You don't feel like Dylan Moore is going to be the savior?
No. I think he's a great player. I think, you know, in his what he does, I think he does it very well. He can play a lot of positions. He's a great defender. He's got some pop, but he's better against left-handed pitching. He's always has been. And so he will definitely be a plus when he gets here. But, yeah, he's not the savior or anything like that.
Yeah, it's interesting how the longer he's out, how the conversation and perception of him seems to change. And, well, wait till Dylan gets back. And I'm like, to do what? I mean, I think he's a nice player. I think he's great for this team because of all the things you just said. But let's not put an unfair expectation that he's going to come in here and rescue a struggling offense. That's not his game.
No, right. It's kind of like the backup quarterback situation, you know, syndrome where, you know, the guy on the bench looks a lot better than the guy that's starting, but then that's not really the case because if he was better, he would be starting.
Yep, exactly right. He is Luke Arkin's regular on the show and often citing his stats. You can follow him on Twitter @Luke_Arkins, @Luke_Arkins, or you can go to lukearkins.substack.com. Find all of his work. Always a fun time talking to you, man. Always appreciate the input on Twitter and on there.
Thanks. Thanks for having me. This is awesome.
Yeah.
You should have me on more often.
Come out here more often. We'll have you on.
We appreciate it, man.
Thanks.
There you go. Luke Arkins, everybody. We'll come back. We got Mean Text. You still have a few minutes left. 866-979-3776, powered by Mac and Jack's Brewing Company. We'll unveil your hurtful things. Coming up next as we continue live from Edgar's Cantina, Wyman and Bob, Seattle Sports on 710.
Wyman and Bob.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studio.
On Seattle Sports and the Seattle Sports app.
This is it. This is how we end the show each and every week here with Wyman and Bob. We got Lefko in for Wyman today as we continue live from Edgar's Cantina here at T-Mobile Park. How the listeners do?
Unique ones. We got an ode. We got one about Brock. We got one about Salk.
It was
about
Ryan. We got an ode.
An ode. Someone wrote you a poem.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I think we have to start with that. It's kind of long. So, we got some unique ones. We did get Adam Ray as well. But this is an ode to Bob from the 206. It says, from a germ. I'm a germ, and I love Bob. He thinks he's so clean, but like all humans, he's really a slob. I love his hair, and when he breathes, I'm in the air, everywhere. I love his feet. I'm in all the hotel sheets. Because he showers, he thinks he's okay. But Bob, you wait. We'll get you one day.
A for creativity.
We had to start
with
that one. Yeah.
Very nice. All right. Here's one from Adam. Jeopardy question. This pickleball enthusiast looks like he collects used frisbees. The answer, what is Mike Lefko? Used frisbees.
What would be the difference?
Let's see, another one from him. Bob may be older than Bryce Miller, but why does Bryce Miller look like Bob's dad? Maybe it's the stash. Maybe it's Maybelline. Either way, Bob's skincare regime is like Salk's wardrobe choices. Nobody understands it. A little sly shot at Salk there. Nice.
206 says, Bob, why are you still single? You tell every guest you love them.
Ah, I know. There's just no takers. What can I do?
Yeah. All these guests. Jeez. Until you love them, I guess.
Well, we do love these guys, though.
They were great guests today. Yeah, good guest today. Another 206 says, Lefko, if you were a spice, you'd be flour. Guess I'm boring.
I didn't realize that was considered a spice.
Yeah, I don't think it is either. It's a baking product.
This is an odd one from Adam. Bob has the face of a guy who sings the MASH theme song at the urinal, then turns to the guy next to him and says, MASH, love me some MASH.
You got Matt Nelson on that one.
Matt loves the random nature of some of these shots from Adam.
I know you read this the other day when Ryan was here, but it's just too good. We have to go back to it. 907 says, Ryan Roland Smith won't wrap his kids in bubble wrap because it costs money to buy it. He won't be wasting money on just anything. Because, you know, he's talking about his kids.
I got you.
Bubble wrap. I'm Wyman over here. I'm explaining the funny away.
You're just explaining the funny out of it.
Yeah.
What else you got up there?
I think
someone must have said they need. Oh, Rima said you guys should go to Driveline, and then 512 said, please don't take Wyman to Driveline. He has enough problems with his own house.
Imagine what he could be hurt by in
with
Driveline.
Thousands of dollars, millions of dollars of technology, yeah. And all these standing appliances. And yeah, Wyman's not going to Driveline with us.
That's yeah. He boy, the amount of damage he could do in there just by being there. Let's see. Dave looks like a guy who would get out of his car to fight at a Burger King drive-thru. Salk looks like a guy who would tape it. Lefko looks like the kid who's scared that his buddy got beat up by a Burger King employee. Matt's over there trying to hold it back there.
425 says, I wish someone would come over and pull you guys off the show after your first hour each day.
Fair enough. Yeah. Fair enough. What else you got up there?
206 says, Salk hasn't, quote, lost 35 pounds. He's merely transferred those pounds to Wyman.
That's good. That's a good one. let's see. This one from the 425. It took me a while to appreciate Adam Ray's humor. I realized it was because nobody on this show is funny, and his comedy just comes out of left field. Another one, 253. This show is the non-alcoholic beer of sports talk radio.
Okay. Well, I'll say there's one more Adam Ray one, right? I think.
Is there?
Lefko has the face of a guy who licks his lips while he sleeps.
Oh, yeah, yeah. he started one. Bob sounds like the guy and then just ended.
There you go. You sound like the guy.
I would sound like the guy.
Yeah. Jen and Beaverton. Wyman and Bob spend sleepless nights wondering what 8 straight quality shows feels like.
360 said this week Ryan Roland Smith made me miss Wyman. The guy's a total bogan. He would appreciate that
He would appreciate that one. This one was very good. I kind of want to like set it up and see Matt Nelson's reaction. It's been half the fun today. 253. Brock Heward speaks with the tone and cadence of a veterinarian coming out of his office and telling you your dog's not going to make it.
Oh, which, my goodness.
That's a power on that, but... No, Matt didn't like that one either. Yeah, that was a tough one to end on there. We'll have to get another one going. I was just trying to think of Brock's tone.
My computer's freezing up again. You're going to have to go through whatever we got left on
the text. Our dumb texters, we don't have that many left. Oh. So, I don't know.
Here he is.
Come through.
You're trying to take shots at him. They can't even respond in time.
I know. No,
our
that's
dumb
a problem.
Texters.
I feel like I need a good one after that.
You got to end on a good note there.
I ruined the mood there. Salk has the face. Did we tell this one? The face of a guy who sells cologne? Do we do this one yet? Okay, we'll end on this one. Salk has the face of a guy who sells cologne out of the back of his truck in a high school parking lot. That comes from Adam Ray.
All right. Good stuff. Good stuff, Eddie. I do like the guy that said he transferred his weight to Wyman. That was solid.
That was solid.
All right. That does it for us. I want to thank our guests today, Bill Krueger, Ryan Roland Smith, Joe Block, Bryce Miller, and Luke Arkins. If you missed any of that, head to the podcast page at seattlesports.com. Click the podcast tab. Scroll down to our picture and click on that. You'll find everything you missed waiting there for you each and every day after the show. Click subscribe. That's the easiest way to do it. You got the Mariners pregame show coming up next. Have a great weekend, everybody. We're back on Tuesday with Wyman and Bob, Seattle Sports on 710.